WTBQ.
All right, good morning, everybody. This is Jim Mazzetti, and this is The American Dream. We are here every Tuesday from 10 to 11, and interviewing the best, the brightest, the most courageous entrepreneurs of Orange County. This is what I love to do. It's kind of my give back, or has been my give back, and today is no different. Just a reminder for everybody, this is show is sponsored each and every week by Miles Wealth Management, located at 59 North Main Street. You can find us on the great old web, or you can find, which is www.mileswealthmanagement.com, or you can give us a call the old-fashioned way and actually get somebody on the phone, and which is 845-651-3070. Speak to Roseanne. She's always glad to hear from you, and she'll make sure you get to the right person. We can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, all that crazy stuff that goes on today, but all necessary for the world we live in today in and or business. And remember, the opinions of myself and my guests are our opinions, not necessarily the opinions of WTBQ and or Miles Wealth Management or anybody we may be affiliated with, because we're entrepreneurs and we're live, and God knows what my guests and I may say in the next half an hour here that could either inspire or and or offend somebody. But if we're offending somebody, please forget the number we just gave you. That said, good morning. Today is my special guest, Tom Roberts, who is kind of relatively new to the area, but you would never know it by the impression and the impact he has made in Warwick, New York, to say the very least, and in Greenwood Lake, which we'll get to in a little bit. Kind of a very diverse background, which we're going to let him kind of tell you about, but very proud to have this young man.
Thanks, James.
You're welcome. Yeah, in the studio today with me, and very proud to actually have him part of our community in Warwick. You've made an amazing impact, as I said before, Tom, and brought what I feel, what was old is new again. And we're kind of talking about this off air before you even came in, Tom, that kind of neat things that have come around here, but I don't kind of ruin your thunder. So good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for asking me.
So this show is about entrepreneurs in Orange County, specifically Orange County, but the whole theme here is about entrepreneurs and the idea of how you got to where you are today, what the things you went through to get there. And you know, the interesting thing is everybody's got a backstory to their life, and that's kind of the most interesting thing. But they all seem to have a common theme, and I'm sure, I should say not all have a common theme. We haven't heard yours yet, so who knows? But why don't you give us a little background on yourself, and we'll take it from there.
I moved to New York City in 1967 to tap dance my way to stardom.
Tap dance? Is that right?
Yes. And so I did that for a while, and I worked with a lot of really wonderful people, Marie McGovern, Charles Pierce, Phyllis Newman, people like that. I worked on several off-Broadway shows, a lot of off-Broadway shows. The most famous of it would be Beehive, which was a musical, they would call them jukebox musicals, because it was about the singing girl groups from the 1960s, which was a lot of fun to do.
Very cool.
Yes, and of course, going through the 60s and 70s and then into the 80s, and by the mid-80s, my life had changed tremendously because HIV and AIDS had become very big and had taken a lot of people in show business, in particular, had struck them down. So
I remember that, actually.
And so through that, I was working with an organization called Hospital Audiences, and where we took all sorts of different theatrical or musical shows, and we took them around to hospitals and group homes and schools and all sorts of things like that. And in doing that, I got to see what kind of people were working in different capacities. And one of the things that I noticed was, like, particularly social workers and how they have a great impact on people's lives and how they can really, really help. And that gave me a clue, because I went straight from high school to New York, went to the American Academy of Dramatic Arts. So I hadn't gone to college yet, because I didn't know what I wanted to go to college for. So when the AIDS crisis came about, all of a sudden I figured out, oh, that's what I should go to college for. I should learn to be a social worker so I can help my friends. And so that's what I did. And I am actually a certified clinical social worker. And I did that for many years, and I ran a... HIV support department in a medical clinic on the Upper West Side of Manhattan for many years before I came here. Then I sort of retired, and so my partner and I found a house here online, of course.
Is that right?
Yeah.
You found a house online?
Online. That we liked very, very much. And so that's what the house brought me here to Warwick. And as soon as we got to Warwick, it was found where, well, we thought it would be a good idea. We can't just sit around and just sit. So we thought about doing a business. And we talked about all sorts of different businesses, from dollar stores to boutique wine stores to all sorts of different things that we might be interested in doing. And so then I literally one day just took the yellow pages and got in the car and started driving around Orange County to see what the different towns had as far as businesses were concerned. And if I could see, if I would be able to notice that there was like a hole in the fabric of the businesses that were around. And as in my travels, I noticed practically every village has two liquor stores.
That's minimum. That's mandatory, by the way.
At each end of the village, I believe that. And everyone has two dollar stores. And so that didn't seem to be all that great an idea. And one of the things that I noticed was that I didn't see any bookstores. And I was going, And so actually in the Yellow Pages, I went to bookstores, and there's some listed, and I would go to these different addresses, and they'd be gone. They'd be closed up. There was no sign of any bookstores at these places.
Interesting.
And yeah, it was very interesting. And I knew that Warwick in particular, this town is very sophisticated culturally. They're very much into the arts and theater and music and
yes, they are.
Dance and all this wonderful stuff. And there was no bookstore. And I said, how could a community with these kind of interests not have a bookstore? Because a bookstore, I think, is the center of any cultural habitat. And so that's why I decided to do a bookstore. So I...
Pretty amazing, though, that you went through that process of evaluating what, you know, what the location needed. So, I mean, it wasn't just say, listen... I'm a passionate book reader. This is something I've always wanted to do. And now I'm going to go find a place to open up a bookstore. You took it from a completely different design. Was, listen, I found a house online. Now I'm going to live here. And, you know, maybe it's a good idea to open up a business just for some supplemental income, or I might go crazy. Might kill my partner if I have too much time on my hands. And then find out which most businesses, you know, I think sometimes they take the complete opposite approach, quite frankly.
Yeah.
Like, you know, this is my idea, this is my vision, and I'm going to go do it. And yeah, I guess it's different for each and every business.
Sure.
But I love your approach going, okay, what is this village missing? Right. And clearly we were missing that bookshop because it's taken off dramatically.
Yeah.
And, but you know, what challenges did you go through? I'm sure it wasn't just, okay, we found out we need a bookshop in
right.
Warwick.
Right.
Now what?
Well, location and trying to find a place where it would be a viable enterprise. So I, you know, literally was walking all around the streets, seeing what was available. And at first, I didn't see anything really that I thought would be good for a bookstore kind of location. And then one day, I was walking in down the street, and the business that was there before was a electronics store. They had big TVs and things like that.
Oh, I think I remember that, actually.
Yeah. He wasn't there for very long, only because he found out his business was mostly coming online and not through the street.
Right.
So he decided, well, I'll just do this out of my home. Why am I paying rent?
So nobody's walking in to buy my stuff. They're great to see the TVs. And, you know, that's right. It's exactly what I want. May go buy it online now.
All right.
Yeah, a little different.
So anyway, I was walking down the street, and one day I noticed that the storefront was empty. And I always thought that was a perfect location for any kind of store, actually. And so I was looking in the window, and this lady came and tapped me on the shoulder and said, are you interested in renting this space? And I said, yes. And she said, well, go over to the realty office over there. They'll show it to you. And it was the landlady, as I found out later. And so they showed me the spot. And so I was going to go back. And this was like beginning of December, end of 2011, actually. And
is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay.
So,
boy,
yeah,
time's flying by.
It really is. And, so I wanted to go back and get with my partner, but my partner was out of town on some family business and was away for a while, so I couldn't connect with showing him the space. And in the interim, then one day I was walking by and there was a sign in the window saying that it was spoken for, and I was very disappointed. But I went across back to the realtor and I said, you know, I really am very interested in this space. And so if this deal falls through, please call me immediately because I will definitely take it up. So anyway, so then I went to Florida for Christmas and came back January 1st, and January 2nd, the phone rang, and that was the realty company saying, well, the deal did fall through. Do you want it? And I says, don't move. I grabbed my checkbook, and I ran down, and I put the money down on the place, and that's...
Bingo.
Bingo.
Destiny was there. Listen, we're going to leave it right there. This is Jim Mazzetti with Tom Roberts from Ye Olde Bookshop, and we'll be right back after this.
If you're a small business owner, no one has to tell you that your business is one of the largest assets you possess. But have you ever taken the time to know what it's worth? Business valuation is not only critical for growing your company, but ultimately its eventual sale. At Miles Wealth Management, they can help you determine the value of your business through a simple yet comprehensive process that doesn't take months and cost thousands of dollars. For many years, Miles has provided you with insurance and financial services. Now they can help you ensure the growth and stability of your business for years to come. Call them today at 845-651-3070 for a free consultation, or visit them online at mileswealthmanagement.com. They're located on North Main Street in the Village of Florida. Miles Wealth Management, LLC, is an independent SEC-registered investment advisory firm. Miles Wealth Management and its investment advisory services are offered independent of Signature Investors Incorporated and any subsidiaries or affiliates. The Doctor's Inn with Middletown Medical every Thursday at 11 a.m. Tune in to hear their specialists discuss the latest techniques and innovative procedures right here on WTBQ, radio worth listening to.
Hi, this is Professor Richard Hull, host of the Warwick Historical Society's weekly show, History Alive. Tune in every Monday at 11:05 to learn how history is your past, present, and future. WTBQ, radio worth listening to. WTBQ.
Welcome back. This is Jim Mazzetti, and welcome back to The American Dream. We are here every Tuesday from 10 to 11, interviewing the best, the brightest, the most courageous entrepreneurs in Orange County. Just a reminder for anybody who's out there, you can, if you want to reach out to us while we're on the air to ask us a question for either my guest or myself, please reach out to us at 845-651-1110. We'd love to hear from you. And we'd love to hear from you on the web as well. If you want to reach out to me, you can reach us at info@mileswm.com. We'd love to, if you have a story that you believe should be heard by entrepreneurs sitting on the fence waiting to figure out if they should come in or not come in, or you can give them some inspiration and some insights on what you've gone through and what you've accomplished. We'd love to hear from you. Love to have you on the show. And, you know, please reach out to us. You can reach Nick Napo at my office. He sets all the our guests up for the future shows here. And listen, folks, it's a great opportunity for to give back. And that's why I did this show. That's why, you know, I remind people every once in a while. And this is a show about entrepreneurs and what it takes to not only come up with the ideas, but once you get the ideas, put it in play and then continue, because it never stops. Once you're in business, man, Tom, would you agree that it's not like you can just quit then, right?
Right.
I mean, it's like, okay, now I got it. Congratulations. Yay. Now what? So, you know, we kind of left off here with Tom going, well, okay. And anyway, like I said, so I believe, as anybody's listened to me before, I'm a little bit spiritual, just a little bit. And I grew up in a very Catholic family. And I believe in fate, and in and it sounds like to you that, you know, the store was spoken for, and then somebody, you know, basically it was meant for you to have.
Yeah.
And you came back, and there you go. Okay, I got the store. You put the deposit down, and then what happened? And now what? Right? Okay, good.
And then I had to think about how to open a business, since I had never actually run a real retail store. I'd worked in Bloomingdale's many, many years ago.
But you worked as an employee.
As an employee, right?
Right.
And so I also have, in high school, I was an art major, so I have a lot of that kind of background to go with everything else that I've been doing throughout this life, whatever it is. And So I was able to, when I walked in, so all of a sudden I started drawing on all the different experiences that I had had from either school or from working in department stores and thinking, how am I going to work the space? So I came up, so I designed how I wanted the space to be. And got from the realtor, I got some names for contractors who could come in and start putting my dream together for real. And so I started, and as I started this, I'm going, oh my God, I've never run a retail store before. What am I going to do? How am I going to do this? And so I very cleverly went online and said, and typed in how to open a bookstore. And all of a sudden, to my great surprise, all these different listings came up on how to do all sorts of things, how to open a bookstore, how to open a wine store, how to open a dress store, how to open all of a sudden, wow. And there, all these, so I...
Who knew?
I plugged it in. I had it printed out, and it was a nice little piece of work, and I started reading through it, and it was telling me stuff. But one of the things that it also said was an organization called PAZ, P-A-Z Associates, and they are a group, and they do trainings or seminar or workshops on how to open bookstores. It's in Jacksonville,
specifically,
Florida. Specifically.
On bookstores. Interesting.
And
okay.
It's a one-week training program, and it just happened to... fall, I'd started the build out and it'd been gone a month, and I knew I had at least another month to go. So all of a sudden, the training week, and I, unbeknownst to me when I started this out, happened to fall right in the middle of my build out. And I said, I think this would be a pretty good thing for me to do. So I signed up and hightailed it to Jacksonville, Florida, and spent one of the best weeks I've ever spent. It was the best decision I did, and for 5 days. And Joe, my partner, went with me, and we both took this course. And it was 5 days, nine to five, and they went through everything from how to find the shop and what do you need with square footage and what the calculations on how books should turn, how to raise money, what kind of computer systems are you going to need, what kind of book distributors, and they had all these people. They came in, they would give talks and tell you how you could do this. And so I found my point of service computer stuff. They were there, signed them up, and got the programs that was specifically for bookstores. And it was a wonderful, like I said, it was a wonderful week. And it was wonderful because a lot of my ideas that I was about to put in place and I didn't know anything about, they sort of, you know, said, yeah, you're doing the right thing. And I was like, oh, thank God.
Well, it's a little affirmation, right? Yeah. A confirmation that, listen, at least I'm going in the right direction.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, how, you know, that's a pretty amazing thing all by itself, though. You again, this is the resourcefulness we speak about of entrepreneurs. Listen, I'm doing this one way or another.
Right.
And then you figure out, you know, listen, I got to find a resource to make sure that, and let's listen, you know, I can't just throw money to the wind. Let's get an idea here and get on the right track. But even if you're somebody of the, you know, ripe young age of, you know, 50-something who's starting their own first business, I think it's just brilliant that you actually figured out the time. And would you, listen, that is the best money ever spent. Would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, for a couple grand or whatever it took to do this, you got an education where, quite frankly, it could have cost you thousands just the other way.
Right.
To do the trial and you know, error method and see, you know, which way to go with this thing.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. A lot of entrepreneurs, you're out there listening. You know, listen to Tom just did. He just put in how to open up a bookstore. Like that simple.
Yes.
Right? And then it opened up, you know, a window of opportunities and resources to go out and explore and dig down and get more information. And at the very least, Tom, it could have been just the opposite to you. Obviously, you already put the money down in the store, so it was a little too late. But it could have, you did it prior to this, you could have also said, you know what, this is more than I bargained for. I might have uncovered something that you might have otherwise not seen that could have turned you the other way, right?
Right.
So we always encourage everybody, listen, do the homework. We're not telling you don't follow your dream, don't follow your passion, because listen, there's only one life. This is not a rehearsal. And you hear me say this all the time. You know, enjoy it, do it, maximize it each and every day. And pretty cool the way you did that, went about and did that. Mm. I'm sure it's paid you dramatically because of the effort you put in prior to open up in the store.
Right.
Once that's all done though, mm-hmm. I'm sure it wasn't okay. Everything went smooth as silk after that.
No, not quite.
What other challenges? What challenges did you come about?
I think the biggest challenge as far as the bookstore was concerned was the inventory itself. and what kind of inventory was I going to have, and what kind of choices was I going to put into the different sections. The first decision that I made that it was going to be mostly new books, and it was going to also have used books, both, and rare books and leather-bound books. Those were the main type of merchandise that I wanted to have in the store. And then came the different sections, the fiction, the sports, the biographies, the history. And the first thing that I did wrong, I've done a couple things wrong, but the first thing I did wrong, I decided that I wasn't going to have much in children's books. Because children, they got their computers and they got their phones and they got all their electronic gadgets and they're not going to be reading. They're not going to come in.
They don't even read anymore. Yeah. Everything's on the front of them.
That's what was in my head, and literally from day one, the kids came in the store and the mothers came. Where's your kids section? Where's your kids section? I went, oh my God.
I don't have one. I wouldn't have thought that either.
And so I very quickly. Started up a whole new shelving, stacks of shelves to put some children's books in, and started really, well, where am I going to expand, make an actual children's room? I had to really think, I had to take out a storage room, and I had to redo that. So I came up with my kitty corner, and the kids come in like crazy.
That's amazing. Yeah, if I think back, my oldest daughter was a voracious reader, too. Yeah. I mean, she just loved reading. Or even before she couldn't read, I had to do all the reading. And then after you read that book, and man, like, we put her in her bed. Mm-hmm. And if I'd skip a page because I thought she was actually going to sleep, she'd be like, no, you messed that up. Dad, go back and read that again. She still tortures me with that, actually. But you're right. I mean, there's an issue of, like, you know, Why would I even? But the thought was there. Going, right. Listen, why should I even put in a children's section when, on the appearance and looking outside, these kids don't read anymore. Everything they need is right at their fingertips.
Right.
When just the opposite, they still want to hold on to it.
Absolutely.
But if that was your biggest mistake, I'm with you, man. You could come run my companies. I'm good. But you still had to figure out, being in business, you still have to figure out the designs on, how do I go about marketing this?
Right.
Right. Do I get an accountant? Do I do not get an accountant? Mm. Did I set my corporation up correctly? Did I do an S corp? Did I C corp? All those fun things that go along with it,
right.
Which you were fairly new to.
Yeah.
Brand new to,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But the resources are out there. How'd you go about tackling those?
While the build-out was going on one day, gentleman Michael McDermott walked in the store, and he was the owner of the previous bookstore that had been in Warwick. And he just dropped by and he said, listen.
That's right, yeah.
And he said, I used to own the bookstore here, but, if you need any advice or anything, I can help you with some of the, nitty-gritty. I said, terrific. So, we sat down at Tuscan one afternoon, and he talked me and told me what license I needed to have and where to go and get them. And
those pesky little things,
those
right?
Those pesky little things. And
permits.
And distributors to use and some of the basic screws and nuts and bolts that you need to have to get started. And he was very, very helpful, and we've become great friends.
He's a really nice guy.
Yeah, he's very nice and very, very helpful. I'm very grateful for what he did. So he got me started in that way. And of course, I do have an accountant and all that sort of stuff that goes with it, even with a small independent bookstore such as mine. And
no, and I think it's a good point. I mean, you don't have to have a lot of employees,
right?
Or huge volumes of inventory and or going in and going out to not need the quite frankly the professional skills of an accountant.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, and we talked about before just prior to this, the investment you made up front on your education on how to run a company is no different than how most business people should conduct their entire business design here. It's one thing, again, not to beat this dead horse here, to have a passion and a dream. But listen, you don't want to make that passion and dream a nightmare overnight,
right?
By making the mistakes of not making sure the sales tax are done, the filings are correct, your licensing isn't correct, all those little things. I mean, if any businessman is out there who's ventured down that road, who didn't make the initial leap to make sure they got the right players on their team, knows exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So, listen, with that, Tom, I'm going to take one more quick break here. This is Jim Mazzetti with Tom Roberts from UO Bookshop. We'll be right back after this.
Hey Hey, Mike, I have good news and bad news. Good news is my son just got accepted to college.
Hey, congratulations, Bill. That's great news. What's the bad news?
We don't have enough money for his college education. I don't know how I'm going to tell him that we can't afford to pay all 4 years.
Listen, call the people at Miles Wealth Management. They helped me with my financial planning, and now I can afford my son's entire college tuition. To tell you the truth, for the first time in my life, I feel like I'm truly financially secure.
That's exactly what I need. Now, how do I get in touch with these guys?
You can call them at 845-651-3070, and their website is mileswealthmanagement.com. They're located right in the Village of Florida.
I'm calling them as we speak.
Miles Wealth Management, LLC is an independent SEC-registered investment advisory firm. Miles Wealth Management and its investment advisory services are offered independent of Signature Investors, Inc., and any subsidiaries or affiliates.
Hey, Polka fans, it's Nat the Cat inviting you to join me for an hour of polka fun each and every Sunday morning. For the very best in polkas, waltzes, and obedics, join us at 10 a.m. for the Natalie Gabala Polka Fun Show, Sundays, and it's all here on TBQ.
Howdy, this is Cowgirl Chip.
And Cowboy Mark.
And we're here to tell you about Horse Talk.
8 a.m. every Saturday morning.
You'll find out the latest and the best information on horses.
11:10 a.m. and
93.5 FM.
WTBQ Weather.
Periods of rain, breezy, and milder today with a high in the lower 50s. Tonight, look for early showers, then mostly cloudy with a low near 30. Tomorrow, partly sunny and breezy with a high around 40. Partly cloudy tomorrow night in the low to mid 20s, and sunny on Thursday with a high in the low to mid 30s. From the WTBQ Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Tony Salima.
WTBQ.
You're the man, Dan, by the way. Good morning, everybody. Welcome back. This is Jim Mazzetti of the American Dream. We are here every Tuesday from 10 to 11, interviewing the entrepreneurs of Orange County, specifically the people that get up each and every day to make it happen for not only ourselves, but our community and the and hopefully in their family. And we know it's not easy, but there is nothing, hear me clearly, there's nothing better and more satisfying than getting up in the morning and knowing you're providing not only a service for yourself and your community, but your family. And you're in somewhat, I can say somewhat, in control of your own destiny. but it's up to you. I always, you know, my wife, I always ask her, listen, it doesn't matter how bad or how good the day is or how bad, tough the week might be. I go, listen, at the end of the day, the only one who's going to fire me is me. And trust me, I'm sure sometimes I'd like to fire myself. It'd be nice to sit back, but it doesn't. But, you know, that said, there's nothing better. And, you know, this is the greatest country on earth that you can actually do this. Yeah. And regardless of whatever any political focus or side you may be on here, remember one thing, folks, is this is there's no other country like this in the world that you can get up, conceive of an idea, and then put the idea to work and then create your own business. And nobody is going to tell you no. As long as you have the fortitude and tenacity to hold on, you can make it happen. And Tom, you're a perfect example of that. Saying, listen, and this wasn't, you know, it wasn't something that you started when you were like you're a teenager. It wasn't just no. Was this always a dream to open up a bookstore? I mean, have you been a passionate reader?
Oh yes, I've always been a passionate reader since as long as I can remember. I've always had a library, no matter where I lived. My library at home is humongous. And I love my library. So, so I never even thought about ever
making it a business.
Yeah. It never occurred to me. I mean, it certainly, you know, when I lived in Manhattan, I haunted the bookstores there. I always would love spend hours in bookstores. And, like I said, it never occurred to me that I would do that. But When I arrived in Warwick and started looking around to find out, you know, how could I contribute to the fabric of the commercial layout of the village, and the one thing that I saw that wasn't here was a bookstore, which amazed me, and that's what I thought this area needed, and so that's what I found out, and I did.
And you've done a hell of a job with it, and it gets rave reviews. I'm not just saying that because you're sitting here, but I mean, it's one of those things that was like kind of the missing cog in Warwick's little makeup of stores that they have there today. But, you know, we were talking just off air too, and, you know, you obviously get the importance of small business, or you wouldn't have, at this stage in your life, you know, and knowing a little bit about your background, you could have just enjoyed going to the bookstores right. at that point. But yet you understand how important it is to give back and contribute and make the fabric, right? And that's one of the things we're talking about. You know, these small businesses in America, by the way, there's 26 to 28 million small businesses in America.
Wow.
Yeah, there's that many. Oh. And 26, I think 24 or 26 million of them are single ownership.
Oh.
And by the way, they define small business in the U.S., the Small Business Association, I believe, defines small businesses 500 employees or less.
Oh. All
right, so... generally, in Orange County, everybody's a small business.
Right.
So, we had a small business there, too, down the road. It was 300 people. It didn't seem small to me. But, you know, you've made it happen. Kind of going back to it. It's the importance of taking care of your local businesses, ladies and gentlemen. So, if you're either an entrepreneur listening to this show or you're a consumer listening to this show, it is so important to, you know, use the resources that you have just around you. And Warwick is no different. Yeah. I mean, we have some great shops down there.
Oh,
and, you know, we were just talking that, you know, when you listen, not that we ever want a small business to stop thinking big, because remember, IBM was a small business.
That's right.
Microsoft was a small business. We can go on and on and on. Facebook was a guy, you know, sitting in his garage in his underwear doing something here. So eventually it grows into something. But, you know, today, you know, you have a small business and, you know, like, I'll let you kind of take it from here, but kind of give us the importance of using, you know, the difference between shopping with you and then shopping somewhere else.
I think it's very important. I think we have to think about where we're spending our dollars, what is it supporting, and that sort of stuff, and getting stuff back in the community. So if it's a decision to, you know, go to Amazon.com, which I call the evil empire, or come and buy a book in my store, there's a big, huge difference. Yes, you'll get it for less than you'll get it from me. But Amazon.com does not pay taxes. It's not paying into your infrastructure, into the village or the police or the firemen or any of that sort of stuff. Also, Amazon.com doesn't support the community around it. You know, I support the free music concerts on the green. I support the free buggy rides at Christmas time. You know, I support the PTAs, the tricky trays. I've been accused that I'm a real soft touch when it comes to the charities of the town of Warwick, because you can come to me and I'll do something. But you know,
probably shouldn't have said that on the air.
Probably shouldn't have. But yeah, you know, I do limit it to the town of Warwick, though I do have to say that. But you know, so when you're buying a book from my store, you are supporting all these other things that are going on. The lacrosse team, the football team. You know, I support all these things that are going on, and
because that's the importance, because you can.
Yeah,
and that's that's the issue with small town America. Listen, because you know that dollar just keeps circulating back around the corner, back and forth. Because if you send it somewhere else, that's one less dollar to put back into the community.
Right. Exactly.
And you know, it's funny you mentioned that, but you got to keep that in mind anytime you see a small business down on the road on Main Street. Well, and listen, small business is not relegated to just retail stores. By the way.
Right.
You have your attorneys. You have your local doctor practices, although they're being eaten up left and right, but there's still a few.
Yeah.
Everywhere you turn around, there's lots of small businesses out there that not only want your support, they need your support, but you know they're also part of your community. They're your neighbor.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's important to do that.
Yeah.
And you're right. You talk about the Amazon. Listen, the world we live in today is like we want instant gratification.
Right.
But you have that. So you have a store. You have quite a bit in there, to say the very least, right?
Oh, yeah.
Your inventory is extensive. I mean, in that tiny little shop, which is actually, it's much bigger than it looks like. I was just in there for the other day, which was nice because I still wear those glasses. As a matter of fact, they're fantastic. But it's neat stuff. I mean, you're doing a great job, and I tell you, the town appreciates it. I personally appreciate it, and I'm sure everybody else that's been there, your store, is going to continue to appreciate it. Well, leaving that, though, what other challenges, neat things you're going through? How do you deal with marketing? Even though you're, like, we're talking, people love to have that physical book in your hand.
Right.
But they still have to find out where you're at. How did you tackle that?
Well, at first, I made a decision that what I call shotgun advertising. So, which I took any opportunity to advertise anywhere I jumped at. So that I was in. I was on the scorecards in the bowling alley. I was, in the Chronogram, in the local papers. I also did flyers that went out. I can't even think of them. It was on menus for Fratello's and all these wonderful
anything and everything,
because I thought it was really important that that people got my logo out there and the name out there, and I think that had a great deal to do with people coming in, because they see these things advertising on WTBQ. I also advertise on NPR. And I get a lot of feedback, you know, from the radio stuff.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, it's amazing. People come in, I heard you're on the radio, that's why I'm here.
Oh, that's fantastic. See? Frank's going to love that. See, that little plug for WTBQ there.
But now I'm starting, I've done that for about 3 years or so. Now I'm cutting back a little bit on all that, because I don't think all of it works necessarily, so I don't have to do as much of that. And I don't think some things reach the audience that's coming into my store, so I can pull back a little bit on some of that.
Yeah, but it's part of the learning curve, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you know, because we don't know what works in the very beginning.
No, you don't.
You know, we deal with that in our firm as well. We have a full-time guy doing this, never mind you trying to balance everything you're doing.
Right.
And even that, with all the things in education, you're not sure what grabs what audience and what's attracting.
Right.
But so you have to try it all.
Yeah.
You also have to, as I'm finding out, you also got to stick with it for an amount of time. You can't go, oh, dang it. You know, I put that one ad in the one Chronicle on the menu for a week and nobody came.
Right.
It doesn't work that way, unfortunately. I wish it did. What things are working for you? Because you're a retail shop, so this actually kind of reaches out to a lot of retail. What do you feel that does work for you, advertising wise?
Like I said, I think the most successful has been the radio ads. People really hear them, and they really come in the shop and tell me, "Oh, I heard your ad, and that's why I'm here." I do some advertising in the Times Herald Record. That I don't do as much, but around. Around the holidays, I'll do special ads in there. I think those work very well.
Okay.
Of course, the Warwick Advertiser and the Warwick Dispatch, I think, are good because they get a lot when I'm doing the local book signings from local authors. So that gets the word out. The audience that's going to come in to see the local authors is going to be reading those papers.
Okay.
So
yeah, obviously it's an outstanding reach locally,
right.
And it's a big reach,
yeah.
And it makes a difference.
Yeah.
But I think you know, to that point, you have to take the time to figure out what works for you and doesn't work for you. And then what doesn't work for you, and you're still a businessman, as much as generous as you are to giving all these, you know, these charities,
right.
You have to start refocusing those dollars.
Right. I mean,
that's an important thing as being a business owner. You have to go, okay, listen, all right, how are we going to redeploy these resources in a better way or more efficient way. Do you use social media at all on that design?
As I laughingly say, I'm coming kicking and screaming out of the 20th century into the 21st century.
Yeah.
Actually, I was at a recent conference in Denver for the American Booksellers Association, and one of the big things I promised was that I was going to get myself on Facebook. We are on Facebook, but my several of my other employees, they're the ones that do that. I don't do it personally because I just don't like it. But anyways, but I promise that I'm going to come kicking and screaming into the 21st century and do more social media.
Well, you don't have to do it. You can get some of your employees to do it, as long as it's being done.
Yeah,
right? You know, that's it's called proper delegation.
Right.
As Nick yells at me all the time, too, for you're supposed to tweet how many times a day, and in Facebook, I'm horrible at it. Okay. You know, there's a lot of things that grab my interest in 2 seconds, but they are important, you know, especially if, well, again, it depends on the audience you're trying to reach,
yeah.
And where you're going with your, right. with your business. You know, we've interviewed other businesses such as Judy Annunziato. I just had on last week from Edible Arrangements, by the way. She was hysterical and fun, and a little shout out to her, and thank you for the gift that she sent me the other day. But she is a constant tweeter. Mm-hmm. And Facebook,
right.
But her, you look at her product. It's Edible Arrangements.
Right.
So, and I think it was Instagram or something. It's a very visual thing, as
sure.
opposed to a book, which is obviously visual, but it's a little whole different world, right?
Yeah.
So it's different. What about employees? How'd you come about dealing with that? Because that was something new for you too, right?
Yeah, that was new for me. Although when I ran like the HIV program at the clinic, you know, I had staff under me, so I've managed staff before.
So it wasn't all that new.
It wasn't all that new, but it was of course very different from what I had done before. But I had, like I said, I had managed staffs before,
one of the first things I learned was, because I just assume everybody knows how to work a computer, and one of the first people that I hired was an older person, but I thought, just to run a cash register, which is not much different than the old type of cash registers, just on a computer screen, that's all. Could not learn the computer to save her life, no matter what we did. Everybody tried to help this poor person and just couldn't do it. An employee going to work for me, you have to do the computer, at least the basic computer. You don't have to do any programming or anything, just be able to run the cash register.
Yeah.
And
prerequisite.
Right.
Yeah, little barrier entry right there.
So that's become my very first question on an interview, is how are your computer skills?
They vary dramatically depending on who you're interviewing.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Goodness gracious. All right, listen, this is Jim Mazzetti with The American Dream. I'm here with Tom Roberts from the EO Bookshop. We'll be right back after this.
If you're a small business owner, no one has to tell you that your business is one of the largest assets you possess. But have you ever taken the time to know what it's worth? Business valuation is not only critical for growing your company, but ultimately its eventual sale. At Miles Wealth Management, they can help you determine the value of your business through a simple yet comprehensive process that doesn't take months and cost thousands of dollars. For many years, Miles has provided you with insurance and financial services. Now they can help you ensure the growth and stability of your business for years to come. Call them today at 845-651-3070 for a free consultation, or visit them online at mileswealthmanagement.com. They're located on North Main Street in the Village of Florida. Miles Wealth Management, LLC, is an independent SEC-registered investment advisory firm. Miles Wealth Management and its investment advisory services are offered independent of Signature Investors Incorporated and any subsidiaries or affiliates.
This is Frank Lowell. Tune in every Sunday morning at 9 and Sunday night at 11 for And All That Jazz on WTBQ. You'll hear music of every style. It's the most eclectic show on radio. That Jazz.
Hi, this is Marina Case of the Red Shutters in Warwick, New York. Tune in every Tuesday at 11:30 a.m. for The Style Show, a show about decorating, fashion, and fun on WTBQ, radio worth listening to. WTBQ.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Jim Mazzetti, and this is The American Dream, and we are here every Tuesday from 10 to 11 interviewing the entrepreneurs of Orange County. And today's guest with me has been no other than Tom Roberts from Ye Olde Bookshop in Warwick, and I love the way you spelled that, by the way. Cool interview, as always. I love doing these interviews because each and every person is just uniquely different, and each story is uniquely different, but with the same theme about getting up every morning, figuring out how to make something happen, I always say, how to make the invisible visible, which entrepreneurs are awesome at doing, and figuring out things that that are just not always researchable or Googleable. You got to make it happen on the fly and make those split decisions, good, bad, or indifferent. That's kind of part of being an entrepreneur. There's not a manual, folks, necessarily for each and every move of each and every other company that's ever been created, because you're starting it, even it may be similar, maybe another bookshop, as Tom did, but his bookshop is different, uniquely different from the next bookshop.
Yep.
And that's what makes life great. It's what makes the world great, because the ability everything's not the same. It's different. With that, so, Tom, cool interview. I love having you here. What a genuine great guy. Yeah. And, so what's new? What's upcoming for the your bookstore?
I guess the challenges right now is the new store, the new location, Greenwood Lake. It's a very different community, and it has different things that need to be paid attention to. One of the things that I think in Greenwood Lake is we find, I think the key for that store is going to be programming. And so we're coming up with all sorts of different ideas of programming, trying to think a little bit out of the box, and I think we're succeeding in that. At the Greenwood Lake location, we now have Children's Story Hour every Sunday at 11. Wednesday evening, we have the Adult Coloring Book Club. So if you want to get on in the coloring book craze, what's going on right now, we have a club for that on Wednesday evening. We've also partnered with the craft beer store here in Warwick. We partnered with him, and we did an evening of beer and books. And Greenwood Lake was very successful. We're also thinking of...
Listen, that would get me to color, I can tell you that. My coloring might be very graphic by the time we're done with it, but it would be good.
So now we're trying to think of, for wine, probably wine and books, an event for that. And we're also trying to come up... We also have book clubs that are forming, and we're going to do... on the full moon, we're going to have a lunar potluck.
A lunar potluck.
Yeah. So we'll see how that goes. So there's a lot of interesting things going on in Greenwood Look. So, stop by or give a call or go on Facebook, because Maria does the Facebook there, and the manager, she's wonderful.
Well, that's kind of, stay on that point. I mean, you're pointing out the difference between Warwick and Greenwood Lake, and that's just like any other business, mm-hmm. is that you had, it sounds like, listen, you had, it's not that, you couldn't just put the same store in a different location and mm-hmm. And expect it to work because of demographics, right. design, et cetera, right? So right. you had to be able to adapt to that.
Yeah.
It's interesting. And I think that can go for any business for that matter,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
But you had to change and figure out what works for it.
Yeah.
Right? And
yeah.
it were... Where Warwick is just a different design.
Yeah.
Right? But Greenwood Lake, I love Greenwood Lake.
Yeah.
When I had my business in Sterling Forest, they were just an amazing workforce, great people, fun place, and just loyal people, quite frankly. But it takes a little bit to get in there.
Yeah.
Well, it takes a little bit getting anywhere, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Warwick's no different, I'm sure, than anything. But you it's neat that you actually took the next leap and opened up a second store. Mm-hmm. I mean, so what was the inspiration to do that?
Well, actually, it was all the way from the beginning, because when I first decided that I was going to get into this business, I said, well, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it as best I can. And one of the things that you want to do, I think, is you want to build your business. So I said, my fantasy is that before I actually really have to retire, when I can't move out of the bed any longer, is that I want to be able to have grown the business to 3 shops. And then I will...
Really? So that was a dream? That was kind of an objective right from the get-go?
Yeah. So I've gotten now to level 2, and eventually you hope to get to level 3. Level 3 won't be for a while yet.
Right.
But it's still part of... the dream that I have for the store, for the business itself.
But you, to get to that, which is neat that you're saying this, by the way, you realize that you can't be the be-all and end-all. Like, you can't do every facet of this business.
Right.
So you can't be the complete ultimate control freak that most small business owners are in the beginning.
Right.
How is that to relinquish some controls? And
It's hard. It's hard because... The bookstores is all about my taste, my background, what I think is good and what I think is bad. What is it's my Broadway show that I'm putting on. So I'm the writer, the director, the arranger, the star, and all that sort of stuff. So when I opened the second store, and another one of the smartest things I did was to hire Maria Stasola as the manager of that store. And she had a great deal of retail background in her background. She'd been working for me already, and I knew she had a lot of good, great ideas. She also has an art background, and so I've started to just hand over the store to her, because she's really coming up with some really good stuff. But it's hard.
Yeah. it's very difficult
to let it go.
You let go of your baby, and you're like, okay, you take good care of him now. Yeah. No, but it takes a little bit, but you have to.
Yeah.
If you're going to be able to try and expand or grow any business, for that matter, it takes a long time to mm-hmm. get there. But in order for any growth to happen, you have to be able to trust the people you're employing.
Yeah.
Right. And that's a huge hurdle. I know that anybody who's been in business understands that probably the number one, one of the most satisfying and the most difficult things to do or deal with is employees, right? Because without them, we can't run our businesses, but with them, sometimes we don't want to run our businesses.
Right.
But listen, they all get that. We all get that. But what a great time. Thank you for being with us today.
Thank you for having me. It's been terrific.
It's very cool. And how do we, listen, you do have a website though.
Yes.
I saw that, right?
Yep.
Which is
is yeowarwickbookshop.com. So you can come on our website. Our events will all be listed there on the calendars. You'll learn about the shop. You'll see some. We have all of our rare books are listed up there. If you're looking for a rare book, you can see what we have. You can also order on the website itself. So you don't have to come into the store. If you want to order a book on the phone, you can call us up. We'll let you purchase the book over the phone, and we'll ship it to you. And we only charge $5 shipping, no matter what the package is.
No, I can't beat that. So that's amazing. And your concierge service on what you're looking for. Again, by the way, remember everybody, this is Jim Mazzetti with the American Dream. We're here every Tuesday from 10 to 11, interviewing the best, the brightest, and most courageous entrepreneurs in Orange County. If you'd like to be on the show, please reach out to us. You can give us a call at 845-651-3070, not 1110. You want to call the studio, they can find us as well, by the way. Or you can give us an email at info@mileswm.com. And, Tom, before I get off the air, I remember, my father actually wrote a book as well. And anybody who knows my father, his book, which we're kind of promoting here, and it's really about the family and memoirs, and kind of want to get his ideas down and for our rest of the family when he's gone and I'm gone, et cetera, et cetera. And his book is called Crossing the Bar, written by Vincent Mazzetti. And if you want to get a copy of this, you can reach out to us and we'll get you one. It's very inspirational. It actually has a couple little things in there about me, which are not always the nicest thing, but they actually turned out pretty well. But thanks again for everybody that's listening. We look forward to hear from you next week. And do me a favor, be successful. It's your duty, your obligation, responsibility to take care of your family and your community. And God bless, and we'll talk to you next week.